Hey.
Good morning. Is anyone here?
Oh, just your cohort.
How are you, Betty?
Okay. How are you?
Okay, thanks.
That's good.
Are you having sunshine and nice weather today?
Yes. Chilly.
Not as chilly as it's been.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Supposed to get up to 77 today. Yesterday it didn't even reach, I think yesterday it did reach 70 for about 20 minutes.
we've been in the low 70s, so it's just crazy.
It's a very interesting summer, isn't it?
Certainly.
Oh well, nothing we can do but complain about it.
Yes.
We've had a wet one, but we've also had to water our garden, so I don't know.
Yes. Absolutely. It's just been weird.
Yeah. I think we've had like 6 days of 90 last year. This time we've had 20, which is a lot for us. 90. I said 90, didn't I? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But we'll probably have a couple more. I can do without those. At least the heat and the humidity is gone.
Right, exactly.
Anything happening with you?
No, nothing. Nothing. I was looking at my tomatoes. Boy, they're slow.
You know, we picked some grape ones, but the normal size tomatoes, I've heard other people say the same thing. We have not picked any. Although Marty doesn't plant until Memorial Day. You know, some people got a head start, and so obviously they're picking already. But I have heard that.
Yeah, I don't plant until Memorial Day either.
Yeah, that's been his lifelong habit since we're married. He's concerned that the cukes aren't getting enough water and don't seem to be doing anything, which is distressing. Last year, that was the big thing that did so well. Our plants are humongous this year. I don't know what he's done differently, but we got all organic plants. I think I mentioned on a call from a teacher that teaches with Jamie, went to someplace that was selling them and bought us ours also. But our red cabbage is monstrous. It's probably 10 times, and this is just July, the size that we used to pick.
My goodness.
No, his tomato plants are taller than I am.
Oh.
Usually they're so scrawny. Something happened this year, whether it was the plants or he's also been feeding them better than he had in the past.
Yeah, that's what I have to do today is to feed the tomato plants. And
Jeannie has arrived.
That was funny how that just worked. You were going to feed the tomato plants and Jeannie at the
end. Oh, I'm hungry. What are we eating?
Tomato plants. It just worked that way. The words were, I'm going to feed the tomato plants and Jeannie.
That's funny.
Timing is everything.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
That was perfect.
Yeah, doesn't very often happen like that. Anybody have any questions or thoughts before we go in? I was looking at Sunday's paper because I will just briefly tell the two of you. I don't think anybody else is on, but my husband and Murray left here at 2:30 Sunday morning to take my two grandchildren to a music camp in New Hampshire, which was like a 12-hour drive each way. And the kids had to be there by 3:00. And Murray had an 8:00.
Has arrived.
So they left at 2:30 Sunday morning, got back at 6:15 yesterday morning, Monday morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A long trip. Wow. If they hadn't gotten so hung up around Albany, they would have been home sooner, I think, but, quite a 25-hour experience or whatever for all of us, I think. Not to be repeated and certainly not to be, not, never advise anyone to do anything so crazy, but it was what it was. Couldn't have happened on a worse weekend, probably. Anyway, there was. Does somebody else want to say hello?
Good morning.
I was looking through some yesterday's paper this morning in the art section, which has some book reviews, and a book bounced out at me. It's a fiction. The title of the book is Big Brother, which doesn't mean anything to me. Author is Lionel Shriver. Turns out that's a female. And the caption under where it says fiction, fighting obesity in a land that fears and reveres food. I just want to go through some of what it says here as far as what the book is about, because I started to read and I thought, no, I'm going to be as surprised as everybody else after the first two paragraphs. So I think that it's something that we might benefit from hearing. We are a large nation filled with large people who are increasing by the minute. It's a big problem, both literally and figuratively. And this author has made it her personal, has made it personal as well. In her new novel, Big Brother, Shriver raises questions about addiction and familial responsibility, about loyalty and the effects addiction has on those around you. She does so with a wit and that borders on vicious and an insight so keen it sometimes startles. Pandora Half, I'm going to spell this, H-A-L-F-D-A-N-A-R-S-O-N, F, and I'm looking for something key in here that has to do with weight, and I'm not seeing it. F. Dannerson? I don't know. Is a middle child, remember that one, with all the baggage one expects from one sandwich between two other people. Interesting way of putting it. She has low expectations and has settled for almost everything in her life. Her husband is a food fascist who cycles like a madman and gnaws on undercooked broccoli. She assumes her adopted stepchildren would disappoint, and she expects her wildly successful business to fold at any minute. Still, when her much-admired older brother, a hep-cat jazz pianist from New York City, is wheeled off a plane in Iowa for a visit, she soon learns that there are many levels to disappointment. Based on Shriver's own brother, who died from the complications of obesity, this scrapes away the sugar coating from all those stereotypes in which fat people are jolly and warm-hearted. In fact, Pandora's brother, Edison Appaloosa, is difficult, selfish, and hedonistic. Pandora was, this is back to the book. But he is her brother, and she puts her marriage on the line in order to save him. Pandora, who has a few pounds to lose herself, and Edison, run away to a Stark apartment in which they live a Stark life, subsisting on protein shakes and long talks. Victuals to Pandora are never more glorious, but soon become something to fear and avoid until she realizes that food is just food, and it is only the idea of food to which people actually become addicted. Interesting way of putting it.
Yes.
Shriver's depictions of food are often disgusting. When Pandora walks in on Edison during a binge, she finds confectioner's sugar has become a moistened white paste mucked rapidly inside his mouth. She writes interestingly. That was in quotes. Later, her husband eats a rich chocolate cake that leaves him with, quote, fecal smears of icing around his mouth. Oh, yuck.
Oh.
A morning.
Yuck.
And that was also in quotes. There was a twist at the end.
Vivid.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
A vivid picture you get.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Can't get much clearer than that one.
Oh.
There's a twist at the end of the story, a literary trick we have seen Shriver use before. This time it leaves the reader with a heavy feeling, despondency that one can only imagine. Shriver felt about her own sibling, or that any of us have felt watching a person disappear into addiction. This poignant turn in the novel becomes all the more heartbreaking when juxtaposed against the author's comic verve. For example, the names of her characters are as outlandish as Pandora's Hollywood childhood, with a TV star father and a depressed mother who may or may not have committed suicide. What does work is Shriver's sometimes awkward phrasing and staccato use of language, which can be quite discomforting. Comforting? Not comforting. D-I-S-C-O-M-F-I-T-I-N-G. Also, Shriver lives in England and has allowed British phrases to leak into a story set in the Midwest where one does not, quote, one does not buy, quote, toilet roll, but toilet paper, and the shoulder of a roast is not called a verge, V-E-R-G-E, in quotes. In the end, however, we are not left lingering on Edison's over-the-top jive talk or laughing at the siblings, quote, ketosis party, but the idea that in America we have made food either something to revere or fear. In a culture filled with food porn on the TV and a fast food joint on every corner, Pandora decides that, quote, however gnawing a deficiency, satiety is worse. So here is the thought, we are meant to be hungry, end of quote. And that doesn't give you food for thought.
Wow.
Yeah. It sounds like an interesting book.
Yes, it does.
Name of the book again?
Big Brother.
Huh.
Lionel Shriver. Interesting. A different little twist on what's going on. I mean, you know, her brother died from obesity. That certainly bears weight on your aura and who you are.
Absolutely. Wow.
So,
she words things very interestingly.
Yes. Yes. That
I wrote the article.
Yeah, that's one of the things that would be worth getting into the book to find out about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting how she says that, you know, the ads, the TV ads and all that, are, she relates it to food porn. That's an interesting concept.
One I've never thought of, but when you think about it,
yep.
Probably not too far off the mark.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's not the food we're addicted to. What did she say we were? It's the thought of food? Is that what she said?
Loretta has arrived.
I'm looking to see where that
is. I think so. It's something that we think about a lot.
Yes.
You know, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I love the way the middle child is all the bag and with all the baggage one expects from one sandwiched between two other people.
Yeah.
It reminded me, I think I said this on the call after we saw Lion King a couple weeks ago at the, in the aisle, in the seat, in the row in front of us at the aisle over where was a child sandwiched between two very obese, I assume, parents. And that's mm-hmm. that was my immediate thought. That child is sandwiched in there, and
I've seen it too. Just walking down the street, you know, I'm at the fairs that I work and things like that. I see a lot of people at one time, you know.
Yep.
Over a period of several days.
Yep.
In different parts of the country, and it's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Here it is. Food is just food, and it is only the idea of food to which, no. It's only the idea of food to which people actually become addicted. Okay.
The idea of food.
Huh?
Wow.
Food is just food.
Mm-hmm. I was reading, I have a tip here. It's from Blaylock Newsletter, the August edition. I just printed out the one page, but there's just a few little paragraphs here, if you'd like. Can I read it?
Sure.
The title is Good Health Requires Discipline. This is like on the other side of the spectrum. He says, after treating so many people with nutritional problems, I've come to realize that the biggest issue is that most people lack willpower. Some time ago, I had a patient who came to me wanting to avoid cancer. I reviewed his diet and found he was eating everything he could eat to assure he would get cancer. Yet when I told him he would have to avoid these high-risk foods, he replied that he would never give them up. And then he left, never to be seen again. Most women, when they speak to me about wanting to lose weight, make it plain that they do not want to give up their favorite foods. They want a weight loss pill. This is how so many women end up with heart damage from taking the weight loss drug FenFen. But good health, as with everything worthwhile in life, requires sacrifice and discipline. It has been said that the undisciplined life is not worth living. In truth, the undisciplined life will be full of misery before it is cut short. Eating is not a form of entertainment. Food has only one purpose, to supply your cells and tissues with the nutrients they need for proper function. And that's what I was thinking of when she said in that article that food is just food.
The only thing
many of the things we eat for pleasure can cause great harm. Virtually every disease suffered by humans is either caused by or worsened by poor nutrition. Permanent weight loss and good health require that you change your lifestyle and nutrition permanently. So-called yo-yo dieting is extremely harmful and can result in permanent damage to the heart and kidneys as well as other organs. It's just a little tip in there, but I thought, some good points. But the eating is not a form of entertainment. And I really, we entertain around food.
And it is, even when you're alone, you're using it for entertainment. If you think about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it tastes good, it feels good, it smells good.
And so many times, you don't even know you're doing it.
Yeah.
Just doing it, as we talked about before, unconsciously, we're putting food in our mouth. Are you finished?
I am. Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. The only thing that I don't totally agree with is the idea of willpower, because the food itself does become addictive. And I've proven it to myself that, remember the commercial years and years ago, you can't just have one, whatever kind of potato chip it was.
Right. Can't do Lay's potato chips, just can't eat one.
Mm-hmm. Right, and now this is so many years later, the food companies, and we've talked about this in these calls, the food companies have literally spent billions of dollars probably to figure out what's going to make food, every food we put in our mouth that's bad for us.
Right. That's that Saul Sugar book is. He talks a lot about that.
Yeah, they're purposely putting chemicals and stuff in there so that we will want more after the first one.
Right.
To reach that bliss point.
So,
yeah.
As far as willpower, that's not going to get you there, I don't think.
Roger Drummer has said on his Sugar Tape
calls in with the nutritional products from Nikan, going with Vance's Double Day or trying Vital Balance for a week with following the program. Once you get off of the addicting foods for a week, and feed your body with the nutrition it needs and wants, and you continue on that path. You until you deviate, you have it. You're doing really good.
Absolutely. It really requires. When Roger was talking about that, Roger Drummer was talking about getting unhooked off the sugar. Then your mind can actually feed your brain properly first thing in the morning, and then you can actually make a decision that's sort of good about what you're eating. But again, if
you really want it.
Yeah, well, you do.
I'll try it, if it works fine, if not, okay. This is something you have to decide you're going to do for your body and for your life.
Well, and that's what willpower is you're making a decision by your own will, and you're backing it up with your actions. And so
true.
We have to do that with everything that we want.
Well, but most people don't have addictions to other things that they're challenged with you have to eat.
Absolutely.
Always compare the addiction to cigarettes and food. Food you have to have. Cigarettes you don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know.
Being educated about what your body needs for food, and then learning to love that.
And not having it in the house, and not watching all the commercials about food that look so tantalizing. surrounding yourself with people and things that benefit you rather than detract from.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times for me, what I, and my husband says to me all the time when I'm watching commercials, which I always mute them. I cannot take commercials if we're watching TV, which we don't a lot of, but whenever a fast food commercial comes on or whatever, I always make comments to the negative about it. And I think that's part of my defense mechanism to make sure that I don't even go there. You know? And I've done that for years.
My mother has been dead for, what, 20 years or whatever it is. I always have muted commercials, and she used to say to me, how do you think these companies are going to make money if everybody mutes their commercials? So that's how long that's been going on with me. I just, you know, that was before we recorded stuff and fast-forwarded. But fast food was never something I would ever be enticed by.
Mm-hmm.
The Snickers bar looks really good when they advertise it. So, you know, still, I could sit down and eat a Snickers bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bought the almond bark yesterday to make the fudge, and I had some of the almond bark.
Yeah.
True confession. Delicious.
I got to make that.
I'm going to make it this morning. I have to make it.
You're
going to
make
the almond bark.
Eight by eight, or you can make it in a regular size pan?
I think I'm going to do the 8x8.
Yeah, I don't have that size pan anymore. But
I think I still have one. I have either that or I have one that's 5x, probably, what is that size? Go by.
I don't know. 5x7. Well, you know, I bought one. I do.
5x9, maybe.
When we were making the brownies, the black bean brownies, that required one. And I did. I bought a Corningware one I could use. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, I have a glass one.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, Corningware.
Yum, yum. I heard Loretta come on.
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
Okay.
Good.
I say okay, I'm exhausted. I've been taking my husband home every other day, and it's really getting tired.
Challenging, I'll bet.
Yeah, this week I haven't been doing it. I've told him I can't do it every day anymore. It's just too much.
Right. And you have no help.
And I have no help, nobody.
Oh, my.
But I usually go get him and bring him home and give him lunch and get his supper. And then take him back, and by the time I get him back and back home, it's 8:30, 9 o'clock every night.
Oh.
And I've been doing that now for a couple months, and it's catching up with me. I've got to stop doing it so much.
Is he able to do the steps to get into your house?
Yes, he is.
Wow. Boy, he's come a long way.
He has come a long way. Yeah.
And does he remember being at home?
Yes.
Wow.
That's great, Loretta.
That is amazing.
Thanks.
Take a little time for you, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to go up to Moosehead. It's the largest lake in Maine. It's a 41-mile-long lake, and it's beautiful. We've got a cabin up there. I'm just going to go for a week with my son and his family and try to recuperate a little bit.
Good for you.
I'm going to give you one piece of advice that I thought of frequently when my mother moved to Cleveland. You need to take care of you, because if you don't, you're not going to be there for him.
I know. I keep telling him that.
That's true.
But he can't, you know. Well, if you'd bring me home and let me stay, I could help you do all these things.
Sure.
Oh. Realize, you know, how much work.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely.
Maybe go every other day or something, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I was doing almost every other day, but then it gets to the weekend, and you don't want to be there on the weekend. So I take him Saturday, and then I go get him to church on Sunday, which I have to drive 25 miles to get him.
Wow.
And come to church, so it's 50 miles a day right there on Sunday. So then I don't get him on Monday, but I get him Tuesdays, and And then there's doctor appointments, so you end up going back and getting them that day anyway. And then I feel guilty if I bring them right back, so I take them out to lunch. Well.
Did you ever think you would have the strength to do what you've been going through for the past couple of years?
Pardon?
Did you ever think you would have the strength to go through what you've gone through in the past couple of years?
No. No. If someone would have showed me my future and said, this is what you got to do, I would have said, no way, I don't have the strength.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's the good nutrition and vitamins and everything that I keep taking.
Yeah. So you really do need to take care of you first.
Yeah. I'm trying.
I'm sure. That week away will be wonderful for you.
It's just life puts a guilt trip on you, and all the time I'm not with him, I'm thinking about him, and I think, well, I could have him home, and I could be doing this with him, and then the guilt trip moves in, and that's as bad as doing the actually going and getting him and bringing him home.
It's worse, because you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wish I knew what the recipe was to forget about it, but he's not here.
Well, but you know that he's being taken care of, and that's the important thing also.
That's true. He's in a good place. And
yes, he is.
Even though he says he don't like it there, he really does, because the minute I'm gone, he's up and he's out talking to people, and he's so it's amazing to see how compassionate he is to other people. You know, he does 93 patients there, and he walks the halls and goes and visits everybody and talks to everybody and pats them on the shoulder and on the head and holds their hand. And so when I'm not there, he's very busy, so I shouldn't feel guilty about it.
Well, and you know that you're doing the best that you can for him,
yeah,
both when he's there and when he comes home.
That's true. So
is
why
he
do
walking
I,
out a walker? Okay. Or anything?
Pardon?
Is he walking with a walker?
Yes, he is.
Uh-huh. I mean, you've done an amazing thing over the past couple of years with him.
I'm sorry?
You've done an amazing thing over the past couple of years with this.
Oh, yes, he has.
So stop feeling guilty. I'm telling you right now. I've had enough of the guilt. It's hard. I know. You know, we always feel like we it's the shoulds that get to us. We should be doing this, or we should be doing that.
Yeah.
Says who?
You're in our prayers, Loretta.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're an amazing woman.
When he's not with you, he's comfortable, he's happy, and he's being well taken care of.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. And I would like to bring him home, you know, have him home permanently, but I don't think I could do it alone. And I don't really trust that he would be able to, not go off on me and be half crazy.
Do you have long-term care insurance at all?
Yes.
Does it cover home care?
He's 100% disabled.
Does it cover home care?
Not very much home care at all.
Okay.
But he has long term. He can stay there, and it doesn't cost us a penny.
Well, when Marty and I were setting up our long-term care insurance, Mindy, you know, she's a geriatric social worker, fortunately said, make sure it covers home care, and ours does. So anybody who's getting it, you know, that's something to consider anyway.
Is that 24-hour day home care?
I believe so, isn't it, Mark? I think it's the same as if we were to go out.
Wow, that's fantastic. That must cost you a lot of money.
Well, you know, so much depends on how old you are and what your health conditions are when you take it out.
That's true.
We've had it now. I mean, Marty got his before I did because I just wasn't old enough. You know, I don't need long-term care insurance. And I finally got it probably about 10 years ago.
That was a smart decision.
I know. You know, I just automatically write the check every 3 months and don't even think about it.
Yeah. Because today, boy, if you can't pay, then they take your home. And, or I guess you can live in, the wife can live in the home as long as she's living. But when you die, that home goes to the state. That's what it is up here, anyway.
Yeah.
And you lose everything.
Yeah.
A lot of people really, you know, lose all their, everything they ever had because they can't afford the long-term care.
It's expensive.
Yeah, I went through a financial peace university, it was called, that was put on by the churches around here, and by Dave Ramsey, and one of the things he said was, as soon as you turn 60, run out and get that long-term care insurance. He says you don't need it till you turn 60, but as soon as you turn 60, you should have that.
It's funny because that's when I got it.
Yeah.
Before we hang up, and I know it's a little bit past, I just want to read something so I can get rid of this paper. Toothpaste eases chigger bite itch. I don't know what chiggers are, but they're apparently a little insect.
I grew up with chiggers.
Oh, this is a People's Pharmacy. I had not had a chigger bite for more than 50 years, so I wasn't sure what the bites were when I got them last year. I tried the old remedies, including nail polish and calamine, to no avail. This year I knew that when I worked in my garden, so I guess you get it in the gardens, I would probably get chigger bites again. Sure enough, the bites itched like crazy. Read somewhere that toothpaste on a blemish helped it heal. In desperation, I dabbed it on the bites, and the itching stopped. I reapplied several times, and the bites went away. It's a little messy, but I will take that over the intense itching anytime. And their answer is, we have heard from people who have used toothpaste on minor burns, yellow jacket stings, or itchy fungus under the breasts. This is the first report we have had that toothpaste might ease the itching from chigger bites. Dermatologists often prescribe strong corticosteroid creams or gels to calm the itch. If toothpaste works for you, so much the better. I've used probably a wasp or a yellow jacket sting CM cream.
I use toothpaste too.
You use what?
I use the CM cream on chigger bites too.
Right. Well, if you don't have any, I guess you can use toothpaste. What is a chigger?
They're teeny, teeny insects that burrow into your skin. And they leave a poison or something there that, you know, it just itches like crazy.
Yeah. But they're not dangerous, I assume.
No.
And can you see them with your...
Pervading.
Can you see them, but you can feel... Can you feel them biting you?
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't know anything about it.
Well, a new use for toothpaste.
Yeah.
We used to use toothpaste on a blemish. Like if I got a little pimple or something when I was younger, my brothers would say, put toothpaste on it. And it draws it out. Kind of draws out whatever. I remember that.
It works good. It works good to clean faucets and things with, too.
Oh, let's put that in our mouths.
Now, does it matter whether you're using different, I mean, there's so many different kinds of toothpaste now. Does it matter?
Right.
I don't know if the old-fashioned toothpaste that we used to use 20 years ago is still out there. Does it make any difference?
I wonder if it's fluoride in it that makes it. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyway. Interesting. All right, guys. Anybody have any final thoughts?
Oh, good call, Nancy. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, great call.
Good work, Loretta.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thinking of you.
Yeah. Have a good day, everybody, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.